Brevard County's praise and worship station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here on WMIE FM 91.5 FM, today's modern worship right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and for the past 5 years, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening right here on 91.5, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM, I've been coming in and bringing the Word of God to you. And today, we got two more days until we've actually completed 5 years. Sunday is actually the anniversary date, the 28th of October, 2013 is the date that we started. So on Monday of next week, I'm going to, you know, be doing a message on the will of God. That's what we're studying right now, and tie that in with the Refresh Radio program. And I just want to say thank you to all of the folks out there who've listened, who have attended church. Some listened and they made financial donations to the church. Some have sent in prayer requests and we've been able to pray with you. Some have sent encouraging notes. Some have started attending the church. I've built friendships as a result of this. And so we really are celebrating what God has done in the first 5 years, and look forward to what he's going to continue to do in the future. So if you have a praise report or anything like that that you would like to share, just a word of encouragement, maybe you want to make a donation. I looked and at our financial statement here a few days ago, and just to give you an idea of where the funding is, From the radio program, where we've actually had designated offerings that have come in that fund about 25% of the radio program. So the rest of that is part of the mission of Merritt Assembly of God. We want to bring the Word of God to you, the Word of Truth. We want to do it in a very real way. Through the years, we've met a lot of people in some most unique places. The polling station was one that comes to mind. Walmart was one that came to mind while we were just having a conversation. Another person, actually, I met two people. I was sandwiched in between Refresh Radio listeners and a line at Walmart one year as we were buying Thanksgiving supplies to give away. And they both recognized my voice at the same time. That's been kind of unique in that situation, not something that I ever really expected. So we've been, pleased to meet a lot of people and things like that. And so if you've got a word of encouragement or like to make a donation towards the Refresh Radio program, you can do that online. You can at merrittassembly.com. There's a online giving site there. You could just mark Refresh in the radio program, but you don't need to feel compelled to do that. I'm just telling you that's out there. That's an option. And but if you've got an encouraging word, that would be greatly appreciated. These lights and things that blink like they do don't really give me too much feedback, but when I do meet somebody and they hear what I was going to say earlier about all of the meeting people is my wife has had some encounters, and she's never been on the program here. She works full time, and the comments they get is, I feel like I know your whole family. And my office manager has had conversations with people, and people would say he sounds so real, and She said, well, he is. What you hear on the radio, that's who he is all of the time. And so I'm not here trying to put on a pretense or anything like that. I'm just here trying to take the most important message the world has ever received and take that truth and make it into an everyday relatability that is going to improve your spiritual life. It's going to improve your finances. It's going to improve your marriages. I believe the Word of God is a transformative word, and you and I would do well to avail ourselves of the riches that God has entrusted to us in His Word on a much more regular basis. Today, I want to take you to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse number 32 today. Mark chapter 14, verse number 32. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So just to set the stage for you, it says, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came to the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Today, what we're talking about in Mark chapter 14 is the most pivotal moment in human history. It was Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he went to the cross. The cross is what changed the course of history. It took us from a work-based covenant to a faith-based covenant. It took us to a place where Jesus paid the price for our sins. It was not something that had to be done on an annualized basis anymore. This is a once-and-for-all sacrifice that is to be made. And we will talk about the importance of Jesus' prayer, not my will, but thine be done. We'll talk about that more at a later time. But I will tell you this, that when you hear Jesus praying that, and you know, because Scripture tells us over and over and over again, that when Jesus prays, the Father hears his prayers. He wasn't ignoring the cry of Jesus. He was there, and Jesus was praying for him, and he said, Father, if there's any other way to accomplish this purpose, let's take that way. I know the path that has been laid out. If there's any other way. Now, when you hear that prayer put that way, then all of a sudden you realize that it is not going to be just sufficient to get you to heaven by being a good person. It's not going to be sufficient to be a good man or a good woman to pay all your bills on time and all of that sort of stuff, and you're not out there killing people, and none of that is going to be good enough, because if that would have been good enough, then Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross. To say anything other impugns the character of God. It impugns his motives. It says you took the most extreme, most painful route to accomplish something that could have been done with relative ease. It is something that undermines the wisdom of God, the character of God, that all of that that says, you know, just being a good person is enough to get me to heaven. It's not good enough, or Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross. When you hear, Father, if there's any other way, but not my will, but your will be done, then you realize it does matter what you believe. It is not sufficient to say, well, this is what I believe, and as long as I'm and sincerely believe that it will be enough to get me to heaven, that's not going to be sufficient. So this will, Jesus, we're talking about a spiritual struggle here. At the most pivotal point in human history, because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was absolutely essential. And I know this, that God would not have had his son do that if there was an easier way to do it. It was necessary, because Jesus was the only person who never sinned. It's not just a philosophy. It's truth personified. So we'll talk more about his struggle with this prayer at another time. But what I want to focus on today is the reality that Jesus, as he is praying at the most pivotal moment in human history, requests that his disciples join him in this endeavor. And he asked them to watch and to pray. In verse number 32, he tells the disciples at large, the 11 that were there, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John. So now there's 8 that are sitting there. Peter, James, and John were like his inner circle. And he takes them with him. They begin to see him in a troubled and deeply distressed condition, and he describes to them what is going on inside, that his soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. And there is the request that Jesus makes. Will you join me in praying at this extremely pivotal moment? Now, I will tell you this. The cross has already taken place in history. The resurrection has already taken place in history. The ascension to the right hand of the Father, that's already taken place in history. But right now, Jesus is currently involved in the very same act that he was involved in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is praying. He is praying in accordance with the perfect will of God. He is praying for the will of God to be done. You see, even though the act has taken place from a historical perspective, right now there are billions of people who are in the valley of decision. I believe it's the prophet Amos that says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. 7+ billion people, many of whom have never heard the gospel, and God is not willing that any of them perish, but that all come to everlasting life, that they all come to repentance. And so the Father is listening to Jesus pray. The Holy Spirit is praying in accordance with the perfect will of God. And the invitation is for you and I to join in this endeavor of praying alongside God, partnering with him in prayer for the eternal destiny, not just of ourselves, not just of our family members, not just of our loved ones, our coworkers, our neighbors, or our country, but we are praying for people who are even hostile to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ to come and put their faith in Jesus so that they too can spend eternity with him. That hell would be plundered and heaven would be populated. And so we, just like the disciples, have had a divine invitation extended to us to watch and pray. I believe that it is still not something that pleases the Father when there are people who are captive in their sins and on their way to an eternity without him. That's the reality that we're talking about. Prayer is one of the most important and yet most underutilized gifts that we have ever been given. Too many times we only use prayer whenever we are facing a crisis or a major need in our life, a loved one is sick. And yet we have this hotline to heaven that has been granted to us where we are not supposed to just use it, whenever there's a crisis, like calling God like we would call an ambulance. But it's like speaking to the lover of our soul. You know, back when my wife and I were dating, we were separated by 700 miles because of I was in Oklahoma and she was in Illinois. And the only connection that we had was the telephone. And back in those days, there weren't multiple phone line providers. For some of you younger listeners, there weren't cell phones, there weren't text messages, there was no FaceTiming. And so making a phone call was very expensive long distance. The most expensive phone call I ever made was a collect call to my dad when I was trying to take my kids to see where their grandfather had lived in Michigan. And I didn't have a cell phone at that point in time. I made a collect phone call. It was a 4-minute phone call. It cost my dad $32 to make that phone call. And he told me that after that I was going to get a cell phone because he wasn't going to pay $32 anymore for long distance calls. So while my wife and I were planning the wedding, the only thing that we had to communicate with was the telephone. And so my phone bill, my parents' phone bill, they never told me how much it was because they realized how important that communication was to the relationship. And so I jacked their phone bill up quite a bit, but we talked not because we had to, but because we wanted to. And so Jesus extends the invitation to Peter, James, and John. The other disciples, I believe, were also supposed to be praying as well. And he says, while I'm praying over here, you three be joining me in prayer over here. Now, they have already heard him say that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There was enough there that the presence of God could come. And yet, every time Jesus went away and he prayed, and he prayed powerfully, he prayed in accordance with the will of God, and then he would, when he was finished praying, it was a very intense season of prayer. Whenever he would come back, he would find them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Now, there's a lot of people that want to put a time frame on their prayer life. I will tell you this, that you want to talk to God as much as possible. There's not anything you don't want to consult him on. I've made mention here before that my daughter said at one point in time, Dad, I don't think we're normal. And by the way, she just preached this last Sunday night for our Speed the Light rally, our youth. A few of them were there, and so they led us with a little bit of youth praise and worship, and then she preached, and one of our board members who's very active in the youth ministry received a Speed the Light offering. Our young people are actively involved in missions. What Speed the Light does is it helps provide vehicles and electronic equipment that, whether it's generators or whether it's sound systems or movie projectors, whatever is needed so that people in the farthest depths of the woods can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I've got a picture of a missionary who was driving a vehicle that had one of these water spigots, because where they go, you know, it's kind of like Back to the Future roads. Where we're going, we don't need roads. well, in that community, they need roads. They just don't have them. And it shows him with his vehicle crossing a body of water, and the only thing that you can see is the very top of the breathing access panel that rises above the car. It's what keeps the engine from being flooded with water. And so he took the gospel with that vehicle to people who had never heard the gospel before. And so that's what we do. So Peter is still sleeping. He said, could you not watch 1 hour? And so I believe that we need to not set the timer and say, okay, I'm going to pray this long. Because let me tell you this, if you have never prayed for an hour, you're going to pray for 5 minutes and you will have exhausted everything that you've ever known to pray about. And you're going to think that you've prayed for an hour, and you're going to look down and you see that you've prayed for 5 minutes. Dick Eastman has a great prayer wheel out there that can help you break into new horizons as far as your prayer life goes, as far as moving from praise into worship to adoration to intercession to petition of needs. There's a wide array of things that go on in that prayer cycle, and so don't just set yourself as being content with where you are in your prayer life. Listen, a breakdown in communication is one of the biggest problems with a husband and wife situation. If a married couple ever stops communicating, or if parents stop communicating with kids, kids stop communicating with parents, that relationship is going to be under strain. And the same is true with our prayer life with God. The problem here that Jesus addresses is that it wasn't a spiritual problem. He says to Peter in verse number 38, the spirit indeed is willing, little s. And so his spirit was on board. The problem was his flesh was weak. And so many times it is not that we don't want to pray, it is that we lack discipline. I heard a quote here, or read a quote. I don't remember exactly where it came from, and I don't remember who said it, so I apologize. But I will tell you this, it's not a Bob Arthur's original. And this particular statement said, you cannot cast out the flesh, and you cannot discipline a demonic spirit. You cannot cast out the flesh, and you can't discipline a demonic spirit. And he said, but you can cast out a demonic spirit and you can discipline the flesh. It depends on where the problem comes from. Is the problem that you are facing in your life a spiritual problem, or is it a flesh problem? Is it a discipline problem? Because it requires two different treatments. For Peter, it was not a spiritual problem. His spirit was willing. His spirit was willing to pray with Jesus. Peter was willing. He firmly believed that he was willing to die for Jesus. And yet here, just a few minutes later, he can't even stay awake with Jesus. And so if we don't get our flesh and our spirit properly aligned to do the will of God, we're going to be some extremely frustrated people. And the casualty is this: watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So if we do not allow our spirit to dictate to our flesh what we are going to do, we're going to find ourselves constantly frustrated dealing with temptation. It's not going to be a devil problem. It is not going to be a God problem. It is going to be a flesh problem. And it's not going to be in the will of God. It's going to be a byproduct of a lack of calibration, if you will, proper calibration between our spirit, our mind, our will, our emotions, and our flesh. We need to be of one mind, of one spirit, of one purpose going forward. And I will tell you that just as with the Tower of Babel, when everybody there was on board, they were of one mind and one purpose. They were speaking the same language and they were pursuing the same goal. And God said, nothing's going to stop them. Today, as we are sitting here, we may have some issues. We may have a lack of information. And so that's what this radio program does. It provides the word of truth. There may be a spiritual problem that hasn't been dealt with. And so every time that you hear me on the radio program, there's spiritual truth that is going forth to encourage you not to stay in spiritual error. But there is also a lack of discipline, a lack of staying under mission. The flesh just gets tired. So I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to being in heaven where I don't have that fatigue problem anymore. But if you are listening to this today, I want to ask you, is the will of God struggling in your life? Is it a bit of collateral damage in your life, not because you're in the wrong place spiritually, but you just need to get some things as far as your flesh nature, your carnal nature, under control? We all have those things. We all have those things. And so whenever the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something in my life, I don't evaluate it from a position of, is this a sin or is this not a sin? Because if God says it's a sin, it's a sin. There's no debating that point. But I evaluate it from this perspective. Is this particular thing that the Holy Spirit has put his finger on at this point in time, is it preventing me from partnering with God in the pursuit of his perfect will in my life? If nothing, I pray that you and I, that every day we're gaining victory, that the flesh nature that we deal with is growing weaker and weaker every day because we are starving it to death. And I pray that your spiritual man is growing stronger day after day after day. But I want to extend to you today to the invitation to get those problems resolved, and then for all of us to partner with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in coming before the throne of grace and praying the Father on behalf of 7 billion people that need to hear salvation. You know what? We need to be more powerful in prayer. And I want to encourage you today. Let's do whatever God asks us to do to kick up our prayer life to another degree so that we can be more effective in our prayer and communication with the Heavenly Father. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow right
here
on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."